He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
What I saw depicted about those individuals on horseback treating human beings the way they were is horrible. And I fully support what is happening right now, which is a thorough investigation into exactly what is going on there. But human beings should never be treated that way. And I'm deeply troubled about it. The whole point is that we have to understand Haiti. I mean, talk about a country that has just experienced so much tragedy that has been about natural disasters. And we really have to do a lot more to recognize that as a member of the Western Hemisphere, we've got to support some very basic needs that the people of Haiti have to get back up.
All right, I'm Drew Berquist. This is my show. That was Kamala Harris calling for investigation into herself and the administration. Basically, right? I mean, she said the law enforcement officials there, but let's pause for a second, girl, and think about just who is in charge of the border. The people operating at the border. What is happening at the border? That's right. It's you. It's you, Cam Cam. And you've paid zero attention to this situation. And these guys that you're referring to, you might not be comfortable with it, but they're just doing their jobs. They're not shooting them. They're not pinning someone down and repeatedly whipping them. They're deterring them from breaking the law, which is what Kamala and Joe Biden are encouraging everyone to do. Break the law. Just come on. That's what they're saying. Come on, everyone. Leave your troubles behind. Make the treacherous, dangerous journey. Come here. We will forget our laws and let you come on across. Don't worry about our system, our legal system. Don't worry about the people on the border who swore an oath to protect this Constitution and enforce our immigration laws, enforce our border laws, enforce our border. Country's not a country without a border. And I say this all the time. This is where the country gets into trouble and makes exceptions. Because I feel deeply for the people coming to America who have left horrible situations. There are a lot of countries around the world, not just the ones coming to our border, a lot all over the world who have miserable existences. And it's heartbreaking. It's tragic. It is. If you don't feel something for them, you need to check yourself out. So I really do feel that. But if they would just go through the process, as shitty as it is, our government's running it, how could it be a great process? It's slow, it's archaic, it's bureaucratic. But if you'll go through that process, I and everyone should welcome you with open arms. We would, we will. But we have to do it right. We have to do it right. There has to be some form of vetting, and moreover, we just have to follow our laws for these people who are coming. So does it look harsh that people on horseback are ushering people away from the border? I personally don't think so. And I know some will say, "Oh, that's heartless. You're heartless." Well, no, I'm not. I care about these people, but I also care about our people doing their jobs. That's what they're doing. These people have met no resistance to this point. And our poor law enforcement officials are being put in very dangerous situations. By the way, just in Del Rio, you've seen the images in Del Rio, thousands upon thousands camped there waiting in Del Rio, Texas. That this is a situation that could get very dangerous, not just for the country as people come in and Lord knows who's coming in, but for our law enforcement officials that are there, for citizens in that community. And the sad part is, is those law enforcement officials who are just trying to keep our community safe and, again, enforce the laws, they're swimming upstream, like a really powerful stream. Like, they're swimming up a waterfall against a communist regime who will have their heads for doing their job. Just wait and see. By the way, you've got M. Stack over at CNN who's comparing the Haitian migration and people coming here to the Holocaust. Let's maybe slow our roll on that one. Dear God. We're going to continue on with this story because there's a little bit more to touch on with it in a second. But real quick, hit that like button, whichever platform you're on. It goes a long way, guys, in pushing back against big tech's algorithms. So whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, hit the plus sign over there. Hit that button. Share it away. Keep commenting. Keep engaging. That's the most helpful thing you can do given everything that we're going through right now. So please do that. Make sure you're subscribed and all those. Reminder, you can go to drewberquist.com and then click support if you want to give back to the show, help keep us going in the face of all this adversity that we're dealing with from big tech. Against drewberquist.com, you can click support. Certain thresholds will get you a mention on the show, but any amount is wonderful, and we're super grateful for it. Today's episode is brought to you by MyPillow. MyPillow offers the best pillow, sheets, mattress toppers, slippers, towels, blankets, so much more. There's dog beds. Damn near you name it, and they've got it on that site now. They make it here in America. They make it with great people, great Americans. This company, guys, loves the Constitution. They love the values that we all knew and held dear growing up and still do to this day. And the best news is you can save up to 66% by using promo code Drew. It's MyPillow.com. Save up to 66% by using promo code Drew. So Cam was not the only person to weigh in on the Democrats' own policy and situation that, again, they created at the border. They're quick to, oh my gosh, this is awful. You're damn right it's awful. Who created it? No. Seriously, pause for a second. Who created it? You did. In addition to Cam, who is the border czar and the vice president of the United States of America, but in addition to her, you had Chuckie Schumer whining about it on the floor saying this.
Haiti. Mr. President, we've all seen these horrible images coming from our southern border as Haitian asylum seekers simply looking to escape tyranny and the problems that they have sought have been met at our doorstep with unimaginable dignity. Images of Haitian migrants being hit with whips and other forms of physical violence is completely unacceptable. This behavior must be addressed, and we must provide accountability. The images turn your stomach. It must be stopped, this kind of violence. Right now, I'm told there are 4 flights scheduled to deport these asylum seekers back to a country that cannot receive them. Such a decision defies common sense. It also defies common decency and what America is all about. Remember that harbor, that lady in the harbor in the city in which I live. So I urge President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas to immediately put a stop to these expulsions and to end this Title 42 policy at our southern border. That we cannot continue these hateful and xenophobic Trump policies that disregard our refugee laws. We must allow asylum seekers to present their claims at our ports of entry and be afforded due process. I commit to work with this administration to provide resources so that we can establish safe, orderly, humane processes for those seeking protections. Again, the policies that are being enacted now and the horrible treatment of these innocent people who have come to the border must stop immediately. I yield the floor.
Oh, Chuck. You had to throw Trump in there too, right? Had to get that zing in, stay on Democrat message. But again, you failed to mention that these are your policies. And this situation that has enticed everyone, not just Haitians, not just people from Guatemala or Honduras, you name it, everyone, people from overseas, they come. They come to Central America to then come into our country. So everyone has come to the border, and this is on you. This is on you. Under Trump, whether people liked Trump or not, individuals, countries, people, writ large, knew that the border was closed off. Sure, we had the usual suspects coming. Sure, there were still people who got through. Sure, there was problems. There always will be problems on the border. But we were not setting records month after month of people coming across, people being detained, all of that. Following the law just works better than this willy-nilly approach that the Democrats are doing. That they're trying to get away with saying, oh, this, we've got to be humane. We've got to be humane and let everyone in. Abandon and forget all the laws. And then when something goes wrong, how did this situation get so bad? Oh my God, it drives you mad. And look, to Chuck's point, there has to be common decency should exist. Yes, of course. I agree with that. But we have to decide what actually defines tyranny. He talks about people coming from tyranny to claim asylum. Well, we've got to define what tyranny is. By the way, let's look at the tyranny that's happening here in our own country. But that's a side point. But we can't just say, well, this is a bad situation. We feel bad for them. So let's say that they're running from tyranny and that they should be able to get asylum. No questions asked. And there's lots of comparisons with this. And there's probably, you know, there's going to be, and there probably are right now in the chat. I've missed some of what's happening because there's a lot happening. But lots of comparisons to the Afghan situation. Lots of refugees coming in. But again, here is the thing. As I've said before, are some coming here? Some Afghans coming here that shouldn't? Yes, absolutely. It was chaos. It was pandemonium. We took more than we needed to. We've left some of the ones that we needed here, there. But we did get a lot out who needed to be rescued on the Afghan side. And the difference, again, with the border and Afghanistan is we, the United States of America, this Biden administration, his national security apparatus, his cabinet, all of those individuals created the situation in Afghanistan. They didn't make Afghanistan violent. They didn't make it this, that, or the other. Afghanistan has always been those things. But the way that they withdrew, the way that they botched this withdrawal, biggest international blunder of our lifetime, created this situation. And they did it fast and furiously. And now these people, some of which who are here now, praise God, some of which are stuck there, are or were running for their lives from the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS. This is a perilous situation. I know several who have already been killed who worked with us over there because we didn't get them out. So we created it. There is tyranny. That is a terrorist-controlled country in Afghanistan, controlled by one terrorist group, flooded the country, flooded with other terrorist groups, all of which who want to kill Americans and friends of Americans, people who worked with America. So it's a different situation. Am I biased? Yes, I am. But the fact remains that we created that situation. And look, I get that Haiti they've got a tumultuous past. They've certainly had a rough couple years here with natural disasters, with assassinations of leadership, all that stuff. I get it. But if any time some other country, on their own accord, creates a shitty situation, we cannot just open the doors. There's lots of third world countries. There's lots of countries that are struggling. And again, I have a passion for those people. I care about those people. I want the best for them. But that doesn't mean they all get to come here with a free pass. If we had created that situation there, different story. But we didn't. That's not our beef. And it doesn't mean that we can't help those places. Look, we can do evacuation operations, military operations, get them to willing third-party countries who are willing to take them in and help them out there. But we've got to define what these terms are. We've got to protect them from tyranny and give them asylum. Hold on. That's a slippery slope. Because there's plenty of other countries who are in really bad situations now and or are about to be. They're teetering on the edge. So many around the world. So when it finally goes over the scale, is it just, it's just open doors, free policy? It's like a holiday discount? Come on. So feel bad for people. We shouldn't not feel bad for people, but we should follow the laws. And when we make exceptions, they should be rare, and it should be because, hey, we screwed up. And we're going to try and make you whole. We're going to try and make this right. Bringing people here just isn't the answer, at least not this way. And beyond that, we don't. It's clear, guys, for these people who Schumer wants asylum for, and even for the Afghan partners and friends that we've gotten over here, who are going to be in a situation where they're trying to claim asylum, get asylum. Guys, we're overloaded. Our government is feckless as it is in parts, most parts, can't handle anymore. We don't have the infrastructure to deal with it. The backlog, last I heard, for people claiming, seeking asylum, waiting in the queue, was 1.4 million individuals. That number's growing all the time. You have the Afghan situation growing. You decide that Haiti deserves to be in that category too, as well as whoever, fill in the blank, Honduras, whatever the country you want to put in there, that number keeps growing. We don't have the resources. And on all this, bigger point in all this too, is remember that this is all being done. These talking points are being thrown out there. This plan is being executed because they want to change our country in a radical way, the Democrats. These people do not value America or her values, our Constitution, any of that stuff. They want to change it, and they want to do it radically, and they want to do it fast. And we're seeing them more emboldened and more careless, which is hopefully helping wake people up, than ever before. And in addition to that, in addition to wanting to change it, they want to take your attention off of, again, the biggest international blunder of our lifetime. People are already stopping talking about Afghanistan. Guys, this is a big deal. I live and breathe it every day, talking to people over there, talking to people in countries surrounding it. It's a big deal what's happening there. It's a mess. There's way more Americans still there than you think. There's way more Afghan partners there than you think, being hunted. And they also want to distract from the fact that Biden and his leadership killed 10 innocent civilians in a retaliatory drone strike, which they just did for optics and politics, but it got out. It got out, and thank God it did. I feel awful for that family, but they killed 10 people, 7 children included. So a lot of this stuff is just a distraction. It's just a distraction, and it's ridiculous, and we deserve better. The world deserves better. And I'm not on the side of everyone in the world, but they need America to be better, and we're not that right now. Speaking of the world, we're going to touch on some international stuff here in a second. Then we'll finish the show with a fun little montage of Biden's embarrassing speech at the UN this week. We'll do that all after a quick break. Stick around.
Tech hates America, and they definitely hate Drew. Want to be sure to never lose touch with him? Sign up for the free newsletter at drewberquist.com and ensure you get the latest updates on the show, trending news stories, and much more. That's drewberquist.com. Then click subscribe. Get ready to dive back into sanity. You're welcome, America. This is Drew Berquist, and this is his show.
Joe Biden met with Boris Johnson yesterday, obviously from the UK. And as is typical, the press allowed part of the conversation to be on film in the Oval Office. However, as we've seen, I mean, have you ever seen Wranglers like Biden's Wranglers? With this aggressive wrangling crew of his that has to run Joe Biden, they have to manage Joe Biden, not the other way around, to ensure things go according to their plan. Their plan. There's a team of people behind the scenes who are propping Joe up, but it's their plan, it's their initiatives, it's their all of that. And we've seen them, this particular wrangling crew, more aggressive than usual, than past presidents. And we've seen how they usher people out. There's always just pandemonium, screaming, all that kind of stuff. But these ones have been more aggressive. They've screamed down people. There's lots of them. It's not just one. I mean, it's a sight to be seen. It's not a good sight to be seen, but it's a sight to be seen. But there needs to be, and traditionally has been, some form of decency, right? There's some manners in there. And the Democrats claim they love decency. Or so they say. Well, look at how, and maybe you've seen this now online, but look at how abruptly they end this session while Boris Johnson is mid-sentence. There's no waiting. It's just they decided they wanted to go, and they cut him off and rush everyone out of the room.
Interrupts or unbalances the Belfast Good Friday Accords. That's the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. That's the...
I have no idea. I hope the microphone got it. I know.
Megan. British reporters get questions, and we don't get any.
Did anyone ask?
I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, did Joe crap his pants and they knew it? They smelled it and they knew that it was going to overwhelm the room, so they had to get people out so less people knew. Did they get the sense that he was going to say something stupid, which he always does, based on the conversation they were having? I mean, who really knows? And we can joke and we can kid, but y'all, there's rules and traditions. There used to be. And this was just flat out rude. Flat out rude. And inexcusable in my book. Not a good look for America. Sticking with doing things different. This, according to the Daily Caller, you've maybe heard this now too. But House Democrats are going to remove a provision or a line in the bill that they're working for Israel's Iron Dome system, which of course they use to fend off rockets from that are launched in from Gaza and from Palestine. So the progressive, the radical, said, "No, we can't have that. We can't be taking care of Israel." So they objected to it, and the House Democrats stripped it out of the bill. Now, keep in mind as they do this that this is, it's theatrics. The progressives really do, and again, progressives, these people are communists, but they really do think that way. They really do see Israel as the enemy. They really do want to take funding from them. But it's not going to happen. It's going to pass the House. But it's the chances of it getting through the Senate are slim to none, if even that high. So not going to happen. But the Democrats, the issue with the story and what's key about it is that the Democrats continue to show that they don't really care much for our strong ally Israel. It's always been the case with their party, but again, like everything else, they are just more emboldened now and willing to say exactly how they feel, exactly what they think. And they've gone so far, particularly the radical, the squad members and some of them, but others in the Democrat Party, have gone so far as to not only go against Israel, but to stand with Palestine and Hamas, an international terror organization. Again, emboldened. Even moderate Democrats are pushing back against these partisan games, which is all they are. I mean, again, the radicals want to continue to seem radical and woke, even though they know it won't go forward. And even though they know that in the end, I hope we will likely still support Israel and take care of them. But Israel and others see America as changing. And I can only imagine this eerie feeling that's crept up on them. I say crept up, it hasn't crept up. I mean, it has blindsided them. I mean, we're losing trust fast all over the globe. Some people have just flat out lost it, but others are racing towards, don't know if we trust them anymore. And there's been some talk, there's a lot of back and forth yesterday about whether Israel would be the second ally to pull its ambassador. France did so after we snubbed them on the sub deal, pulled their ambassador. And there's now talk that Israel might too over this discussion. Again, I think that the funding will come through in the end, but the writing is on the wall for them. This new version of America, at least for right now, does not stand strong with Israel. And you've got an Israel spokesperson who, of course, denied that this is being talked about. But Jack Posobiec put it out there, went back and forth with Politico. And I tell you, I know Jack. A lot of you know who Jack is and follow him. He rarely gets things wrong. He does. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. We're talking about discussing it, discussing the fact that it's going to happen. And I'm quite certain that there's internal discussions going on about, like, what do we do about America? Like, they might screw us over. If they don't screw us over on this, when are they going to screw us over next? Because it's coming. And everyone feels that way. We'll see. We'll see what comes of it. It's when you've got longtime allies and partners in Europe and in Israel saying, we don't know what to expect anymore from America. Look, we were never perfect, but they always knew America will intervene if they have to. They will try to do the right thing. They will get it wrong sometimes, but they will try to do the right thing. And I don't know, 7, 8, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go well, and we will get some support and help that we need. And together, collectively, we will push back against the craziness that this world has to offer. No one's feeling that anymore. And the hubbub that you hear all over, back channel conversations, hot mic conversations, is, oh shit. Oh shit. We're in trouble. And we're in trouble because they're in trouble. They being America. I mean, think of, this is what, and we're going to finish here in a couple minutes. But this is what the world sees. And we'll end here. This is what the world sees. This is a montage from Il Trumpo over on Twitter, mashing up different parts of Biden's speech yesterday as he spoke to the world on the big stage. Take a look.
We meet this year in a moment of intermingled with great pain. We've lost so much to this devastating pandemic, the emergence of new technologies and global health and a global health threat council toward global COVID response, the global COVID response, vaccinating the world and building back better from the borderless climate crisis, from the United States and from other donors. Working with countries, technologies to reduce the risk. Similarly, we know the bitter string of terrorism. The bitter sting of terrorism is real. The United States is committed to using our resources. When the earthquake strikes, we're fighting between warring parties, heroic, horrific violence, and a belief in the universe. When it occurs in, whether it occurs LGBTQI, the authoritarianism in the world. Proud Moldovans, built, broke, now, together. Climactic climate change. COVID to climate. We, you and I.
So we laugh, we chuckle, maybe. But guys, it's terrifying. I think you've got that feeling too. It's terrifying. The Democrats are using this senile old man to come off as this simple, grandfatherly type guy who's been in service to this country, serve his parents. He's done jack shit for this country in 48 years, but has been in service to this country for 48 years, and who couldn't possibly? This guy, look at, he likes to eat ice cream cones. He stumbles through his words. How could he possibly pull off the tyrannical takeover that's occurring right now? And I'll give him brownie points for a clever plan. They think Americans are stupid. They're using someone who could never be the face or the head of such a authoritarian move, such a tyrannical move. So Americans are naively thinking he couldn't be doing all that. Look at him. It's Uncle Joe. And you're right. And that's what they want you to think. Because he's not doing all this stuff. Hell, he can't read the damn teleprompter. He ate egg yolk off of his shirt the other day. I mean, the guy is a disaster. But with it, they're executing this plan, and they're doing it I don't think it's subtly, but a lot of people think it's subtle because of some of the methods and means they're doing it. Like, there's lots of bold things being done, and then they just say, no, that's not happening. Look at what Joe's saying. It's being done, you guys. And the world is seeing it, and they're saying, man, we're screwed. Man, we're screwed, because, again, America is screwed. And I'll say this to end, because I want to try and end on something positive. And I've said this before. I do think that we end well. This America will come out on top. But because of the push that's being made by the other side, because of the naive portion of our populace who doesn't see what's happening and or just doesn't want to see what's happening, which I think is the case for a lot of people, we're going to go through some really rough stuff. It's going to get dark. It's going to get way, way, way worse. If you can imagine that before it gets better. But there's no way on God's green earth that this country doesn't survive. Might look different. Hell, it might have a different name. Might have just less stars on the flag. I don't know. But there's no way it doesn't survive, because we've got patriots on our side. We talked about the SEALs who were kicked out or who are being grounded yesterday. We've talked about all my former colleagues. We've talked about law enforcement. We've talked about all the patriots, not even just the people who have served, but people who haven't served too, who love this country. And if push comes to shove, we'll not let it fall. So again, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But I remain confident that that flag will go back up someday. It might just look different. And I look forward to that day. I look forward also to seeing you tomorrow. We got one more full regular episode, Booze and Banter Friday. Let people know that Booze and Banter is different, but let them know it's fun and that they got to be there. It's 3 p.m. Eastern both of those days. We look forward to seeing you the rest of this week. Be safe, be smart, be free.